It's time for the journal. This is part of my nightly routine for good reason, and tonight that seems more important than ever. I pull the book out of my drawer and let myself just feel what it's like to hold its weight in my hands for a moment. That's also part of the routine. The concept of journals used to intellectually be a lot heavier. My grandfather and grandmother actually taught me to journal at a really young age. They pointed out that by writing down my negative feelings, those feelings would go away. The journal could sublimate my sin of anger, or fear, or faithlessness. My journal used to feel like a confessional. And then, later in my adolescence, someone introduced a new twist. My grandfather particularly was in love with our ancestral family's journals. "They're our heritage," he'd say. "We can see what your great-grandfather thought and felt about his world, because he wrote it all down. Your great-grandmother used her secretarial skills to type it up on a typewriter for him. And now, thanks to modern technology, it's a bound book. It's online. You can go see my letters in the Martin Luther King Jr. Library. I'm immortal. Our family is immortal. And you can be immortal, too." I remember now that my grandmother chimed in sometimes. "Write your testimony so your children can see it. They'll be inspired by your hardships, because later you'll write down how the divine helped you overcome them. When they're feeling down or doubtful, they'll have you to inspire them. Your star will guide your generations, Adore. All you have to do is be willing to write." I felt smushed by her words, and I couldn't even say so. I wasn't safe. I was also too young to filter out ideas that didn't work for me, especially ones offered to me by trusted, loved grown-ups. The carrot was their love and approval, but there was a stick, too. Tonight, I'm not going to think about that. Tonight, I'm going to think about the journal in front of me. It's not going to be a star to guide generations. It's going to be a star to guide me. I'll burn it before I die. For now, it's real. It's in my hands. It has weight. It will anchor me. I may be ashamed of my thoughts later, but I will not, cannot, erase them in this form. I will learn to release my shame, because I will see how my actions created happiness for myself. When I am doubtful or lonely or just forget how much fun and hard work I put into myself, I will be grateful. For my past actions, for my lovely mind, for my lovely body, I will learn to be grateful and proud of myself, and it will come, not by excising or smoothing over the ugly parts, but by including them in the tapestry of my life. The facts go where they belong. I choose what facts to include. I get to record the facts of my opinions. And by myself, I am safe. I do not offer myself the stick, only the carrot. Ahem. Focus, Adore. Ground yourself. Where are you? I'm in bed. I used to make myself journal at my desk, but it felt too formal. I found that I was editing for the environment. So I changed. This room is now used for sleep and journaling. That's it. I used to think journaling in bed would just make my nightmares worse. After all, if I record them and put the journal in my nightstand, then literally the nightmares are all lurking beside me, waiting to come out, right? But I kept waking in the middle of the night, trying to figure out which sensations were real, the ones from my dreams, or the strange mid-wakeful, mid-fearful feelings I'd get when even my subconscious decided it had enough dreaming and kicked me out into this haze of grief and alarm and absolute bone-level tiredness. The journal, physical, reassuring, and completely indifferent, actually helped me stop judging myself. I was scared of having nightmares, but recording them in the journal somehow made it okay. I don't know why. I'm not a psychologist or a neuroscientist, but I can trust my own experience. If it works for me, then it works for me. Simple as that. My routine now is a little bit of nightmare prevention work. If dreams are my mind trying to make sense of my day during sleep, I'll help it out a little. I'll tell my subconscious mind what my conscious mind thinks of everything. The dialogue seems to help. Either before or after, the journaling helps. I still get the odd shame jag about it, but I do it anyway. It's part of my routine. That's what routine is for. To numb me to the fear of what I'm doing, to let my body relax, and achieve things I couldn't if I was tight and stiff and scared, just like ballet. The secret is in the repetition, the brutal, relentless, compassionate repetitions. That's how I got good. It's how I'll stay good. So, I settle into my bed. I'm still working a little bit on the pillow situation, but I know I'll get to perfect eventually. This is good enough for now. My mind, the bed, my pillows, and the gentle glow of my sunrise pink-shaded bedside lamp work in concert to create a cocoon of warmth around me. This is a recent development. My mind would sometimes fight the other elements, but the setting and the repetitions are finally winning my skittish brain over. It feels good to remember where I came from sometimes, because I can appreciate where I am now. The journal is newish. It was actually a gift from my cousin Lily last Christmas. It's pink, and my mother always said that pink was too young a color for grown women. But pink is also the color of hopeful, shy interest. That's why I've been using it to record my self-connection experiments. It's defiant, peaceful, and somehow just right. I allow it to fall open on my lap. I take a breath. I hold my pen over the page. I take another breath. And then, slowly, compassionately, I simply allow my hand to write the desires of my heart. Tonight I discovered feelings I never knew existed, my hand writes. I'm learning what it means to say that my body is not an object. I'm not a show pony, only fit to be presented and judged. I'm not a doll. They can't just wrap me in the right clothes and the right makeup and the right personality to attract the right husband. That was their story. None of that story is true of my body. My body is mine. It's a landscape of sensation and power. It will change, and I'll need to re-explore it to discover new vistas. But those vistas and valleys are mine. I claim them. I have to pause. I'm startled by my hand's intensity. The words feel alien, a little challenging, but also deeply, frighteningly true. Okay, let's move to facts. My left breast is more sensitive than my right. The undersides of my breasts respond well to light, deliberate touches. When I press my breasts firmly, heat liquefies between my thighs. These are facts about my body. These facts belong to me alone. I name the feelings without shame. Shame may appear later, but it isn't here right now. I take advantage and press the point home to myself. All these years, I've been taught that my body is a temple to be guarded. I've been told I had to keep myself untouched and beautiful for some future husband. But what if my body isn't a prize from the divine for a husband's faithful behavior? What if it's actually a physical instrument, created to be played? What if it's my instrument, to play the music I like with? The question feels terrifying to me as it forms on the page. I start to avoid it. Then I ask myself to refocus. I can't do words anymore. Let's try something else. I like diagrams, and I find myself sketching tiny figures on the page. The figures are me. I'm marking the places that felt really good under my hands. It's like creating a Tolkien fantasy map to a country I've always lived in but never explored. Not a fantasy, a reality. I wonder what Gregory the Blind Date would think if he knew I was doing this, I write. Then I stop. I immediately cross the line out. No, it doesn't matter what he would think. For once, this isn't about anyone else. Whew. That was a sign that I'm starting to slide into rumination. Rumination is no bueno. It's time to call it. I close the journal. I take a breath. I intentionally run my fingers over the journal's pink smooth cover. The act of writing in my own penmanship has crystallized something important for me. This experience, this journey I'm embarking on, isn't just about physical pleasure. My shame tries to tell me it is, but my shame is wrong. This is about claiming ownership of myself, piece by piece. I used to think that my body belonged not to myself, but to God and my family. I was trained to think that way. I was required to think that way. And now I am curious. I am testing the hypothesis. What if that's not true? It's the scariest moment of my life, but the bed is solid underneath me. The pillows support my weight without complaint. The journal is real. I have not been struck by lightning. No one in my family has died, or the phone on my nightstand would light up like a Christmas tree. Here in this moment, I have rebelled against my family values. I have claimed my own space, and I am fine. This may all be fine. Hypothesis written. I'm done. Time for sleep. I slide the journal into my bedside drawer as a physical act of ending. My body is still sort of reeling. I scan it. I'm feeling a sort of mixture of calmness and nervousness. Tomorrow, work will ground me. It's chaotic, but somehow the chaos is so routine, it feels normal. I'll figure out what to do. I'll face the same pressures and the same expectations from my family. My mother will still be plotting my perfect marriage. My father might be glowering in heaven, but regardless of their feelings, something fundamental has shifted inside me. My body isn't just a commodity to be traded for security. Circumstance isn't doom. I can create security for myself in ways other than offering myself to a successful churchman, like a sacrifice to the divine on an altar my mother and father made. They may have intended that altar for me. I do not have to use it. This body is not a sacrifice. It's my home. I'm living in this home for the rest of my life, and it's about time I explored some more of its rooms.